That passage that Nicholas read to us a few minutes ago is one of the many that a lot of us memorized in our earlier days and have been able to quote it maybe for a long, long time. And in fact, that is a passage that we often, well, we often quote to make the point that the church is God's household, God's family. But I believe that it's significant also that Paul refers in that statement to these things. What things? He said, I write these things to you. Obviously, he's referring to the preceding words in that letter, especially the first part of chapter 3, where he gives in detail the qualifications for both elders who lead the church and for deacons who serve the church. Now, I think you'd have to be a newcomer around here not to realize that we've spent the last 19 Wednesday nights in a detailed study of the work and the character and the qualifications of both elders and deacons, as is stated there in 1 Timothy chapter 3. In other words, we've been studying some of those things that we need to know in order to properly conduct ourselves in the church of God, the household of God. In the matter of the work of the local congregation here at Redland Road. Now, having come to the end of that study, four of our men from here in this congregation have been put forward to be added to our group of deacons here at Redland Road. And after having been given a time period for the congregation's consideration and time for discussion, a large amount of open and very specific support has been expressed by many of you for these four men. And there having been no objections brought forth that were not answered in the light of Scripture, the elders therefore would like to commend the following men to the congregation as deacons to be added to our present number of deacons. Gentlemen, as I call your names, I'd like for you to stand and remain standing until I ask you to be seated. Derek Johnson, Daniel Richardson, Mike Wester, and Tom Young. Derek, Daniel, Mike, and Tom join our present deacons, Jeff Ludwig, Casey Oakley, and Adam Stevenson. Not only would we like to recognize these men, we want to ask your full encouragement and support to them in the very important work that they will do. And I will say that a lot of the work that they will do is a continuation of things that they have already been doing for a long time here as a part of this church family. Gentlemen, you may be seated. At this time, I'm going to ask you to bow with us as Brother Terry Kicker comes and leads us in prayer on behalf of our deacons.
Let's bow together. Our dear Lord and Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Father, we are truly grateful to thee for the way that you bless us, the way you care for us, Father, the provisions that you've made for us. We're most especially, Father, thankful for the church, Christ Church here at Redland Road, in the way that you've blessed us, the way that you've brought us so far. We're so thankful, Father, that we have the need to add additional deacons to those already serving. We're so thankful, Father, that you've allowed us to grow to the point that there's work that needs to be done here at this congregation. And we're so thankful, Father, that you've brought up men that have brought up families that would allow them to serve in this capacity. We ask, Father, that you would bless them in their efforts to serve, and realizing and knowing, Father, here at this congregation that they've already been tested, that they've already been proven by the work that they've done even up to this day. We're so thankful, Father, that this congregation is blessed with men that can serve in this capacity. Not just these, but there are many others who have not been called upon yet that are already serving in the background, Father. We ask that you would continue to bless our efforts to serve one another, most of all to serve the lost, but in this case, Father, to serve the congregation and the needs here. Bless us with the wisdom to see the need as an eldership, and that we may be able to assign those needs to the deacons in the way that they are best suited to serve. We ask, Father, that you would bless them in their efforts to see the needs of the congregation also, and to care for it, or to bring it to the eldership, bring it to our attention, that we may continue to grow and be strengthened by one another. We pray, Father, that all that we do here would be in such a way that would bring honor and glory to you. And we look forward, Father, to the way that you'll continue to bless us and to allow us to serve and allow us to grow. Bless us in our efforts to be instruments for good for Christ upon a sin-sick and dying world. Again, Father, we're thankful for the privilege and the opportunity to have this need, and ask you to bless us and guide us in it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
You don't need me to tell you that around here we're serious about serving. It's not just the matter of appointing more deacons to help serve this church family, but we all need to be reminded from time to time of how important service is. Service is an interesting word. It's a word that we use in many different ways, but generally speaking, even in our usage of it in the English language, we always allow it to point toward something significant that is either done or performed, usually at the need of someone. We even refer to this assembly in which we are today as a worship service. And implied in the word service, even there, is the fact that needs are being met. Things are being done that will help with needs that exist. Certainly we all come to assemblies such as this with our own individual needs, but we also have the collective needs to be encouraged, to be strengthened, and to strengthen and encourage one another. So this morning I'd like for us to spend the rest of our time looking at this subject, serious about serving. These men who have just been added to our deacons, along with their wives who will stand with them and help them in all of the things that they can, these men and their wives inspire us and encourage us, and well they should. Their willingness to serve in this work sets an example that should lead others to be willing to walk in the same path. And I believe that we could say that it is a path that is very rewarding. There are great benefits that come to those who are served, without a doubt. But there is also unspeakable reward that is received by those who do the serving. Not only is it a very rewarding path, but it can at times be very challenging. not only for our deacons and their families, but it can be challenging for every single one of us. The devil sees to it that we're never left alone, as in unchallenged. And he exhausts every effort to make our way difficult, no matter what role we may serve at any particular time. I wish it were not true, but the fact is that sometimes the path of service is a thankless path. There are obviously times when nobody notices when services are rendered. There are times when nobody understands that things could only happen because someone was willing to go ahead and make preparations or make provisions. Now, that's not always the case, but it is certainly a trait of humanity to many times forget to say thanks. We should never allow those thankless occasions to get in the way of the service that we all need to render as children of God. I think we could also say that the path of service is very necessary. It's necessary for the function of a church family such as we have here. If there were no one who were ever willing to serve, not just as deacons, but if there weren't anyone, were not anyone who was willing to step up and render certain things and services that need to be, our work couldn't go forward. We need to reflect sometimes upon how dependent we are upon one another, not only from the standpoint of being willing to offer the services that others need, but also from the standpoint of knowing how much we depend on what others can do for us. And obviously, as has been said, these men and their wives, their families, are not the only ones who should be serious about service. It's a work that we all must do. The song that we sang this morning before Sunday school class, a song that I encouraged everybody to pay attention to the words, "There is room in the kingdom of God, my brother, for the small things that you can do." There is room, there's a place for the service that we all can render. With these things in mind, I'd like for us to take a look at four things that surely must characterize these men and their work, but also these things also need to characterize each of us as we serve our Heavenly Father. And number one on the list, I would suggest that we need to be serious about serving with humility. The Lord taught His disciples a very strong lesson on the subject of serving and humility in Matthew chapter 20. Jesus spoke those words to the disciples right at a time when they were having a dispute among themselves as to who was the greatest, who was the most important. And Jesus reminded them in verses 25 to 28 that whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you shall be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. Jesus holds Himself up as an illustration of the importance of humble service. And in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 7, Paul talks about the fact that the Lord emptied Himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. The humble, helpful service that Jesus rendered stands as not only an illustration, but also an example for us to follow. As James says in James chapter 4, verse 10, humble yourselves therefore before the Lord, and He will exalt you. Serve with humility. Number two, these men, as well as you and I, need to be guided by priority. Jesus said in Matthew 6, verse 33, but seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. One of the things that helps to make these men qualified to serve as deacons is something that I call premeditated priority. You know, it's one thing to just sort of haphazardly do things and be pleasantly surprised or even amazed when looking back we see that we put the most important things first. There's a difference in that and deciding ahead of time that the best things, the spiritual things, the most important things are the things that we're going to give first priority to no matter what. Prioritizing, which is a challenge for every single one of us at times, is the matter of arranging things in our lives in the proper order of importance. That includes everything in life. From your family, to your bank account, to your schedule, to your hobbies, to your goals. To decide ahead of time to put those things in their right priority. Generally speaking, there's not a single one of us who doesn't need to give full attention to the matter of our priorities. In a significant way, these four men before us have made a commitment to this church family to be guided by a sense of priority. Number three, if you're serious about serving, you need to be influenced by maturity. That would be your own maturity most of all. Spiritual maturity is not something that comes quickly or easily. As special servants of this church, these men are committed to continual efforts of growing stronger as spiritual examples. That's a part of the criteria that the Scriptures give us to use in deciding the kind of person that one is and whether or not they should serve. 1 Timothy 3, verse 13 describes the well-qualified deacons as those who serve well as deacons. And he goes on to say, they gain a good standing for themselves and also great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. There is no way that that can be accomplished if one does not take a mature view and approach to the work that has to be done by deacons. Spiritual maturity makes selfless serving much easier to accomplish. Then the last thing on my list that I would suggest to you for now is that if we're going to be serious about serving, we must walk with integrity. A few years ago, a minister told a story about a day when he was particularly busy, had an impossibly tight schedule, and part of that which was supposed to have been done that day was a trip by the mall to pick up some things for his wife. And as he walked through the mall to accomplish that very thing, he passed by a music store, and they had a big sign in the window advertising a clearance sale on music CDs. Anything you wanted in the store, two for $9.99. Well, I don't know that much about music CDs, but I understand that probably, especially back then, was a good price. So he went in and he browsed for just a few minutes and picked out a couple of his favorite artists, and he went to the checkout register, and there were several folks there standing around, some of whom he knew, and he talked to them as he stood in line and then finally was able to lay down his money to pay. He was in a hurry and had delayed long enough, and so he just quickly grabbed his bag and his change and left the mall and got into his car and was about to pull away when he glanced at the receipt and he realized that the clerk had charged him $1.99 instead of $9.99. Well, you know, he was in a really big hurry. A lot of things waiting that needed to be done right now. He really didn't have time to go back and straighten it out. But then again, he knew better than that. And so he got out of the car and went back in and stood in the same line again and finally got his turn to talk to the clerk. And he explained, these should have been $9.99, but you made a mistake and you only charged me $1.99. So if you'll get this straightened out and add the tax to $9.99 and figure out the difference, I'll pay you what I owe. The young lady said, no, sir, I didn't make a mistake. I did it on purpose. I'm sorry. What? Why would you do that? He said she began to cry. And she explained, sir, I haven't been to church since I was a little girl, and I have really made a mess of my life. She said, last Sunday I slipped into a worship service and sat on the back row, and the preacher was preaching on integrity. And sir, she said, it was you. She said, I sat there and listened to you preach about integrity and honesty. And then this morning when you walked up to my register, I recognized you. And I know it was wrong of me, but I wondered if that was just something you preached on Sunday or if you really lived it on Monday too. And I decided to find out. And through her tears, she said, sir, I don't even know the right questions to ask, but I know that whatever you've got, I need in my life. Now, let me ask you something. Do you suppose she would have ever gone back to church, especially at that place, if that preacher hadn't gone to the trouble to go back in and try to square up on those $7 or $8 that he owed? Integrity is not just something that preachers need or elders need or deacons need. And we all do. But it's something that every single one of us, if we're wearing the name of Jesus Christ, we must walk with integrity in the everyday events of our lives, because it is then that we stand to make the biggest difference in the lives of people around us, who see us who may even recognize us that we don't even know. We want our deacons to be men whose claim of faith on Sunday is lived out every day of the week in every circumstance. And we believe that that's the kind of men that we've chosen to be added to our deacons today. Serving with humility, guided by priority, lives that are influenced by maturity, men who walk with integrity, our deacons and their families. Please pray for them. Encourage them. Help them. Cooperate with them and support them in the very best interest of the Lord's work that we all must be doing here at Redland Road. Have you obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ through faith, repentance, confession, and baptism? Having had your sins washed away, becoming a new creature in the process, if you've not done that, it's not too late. You can do that today. It's simply the matter of doing just exactly as God has said. If perhaps you have done those things, maybe you've become unfaithful in your service to God. Particularly if your unfaithfulness is something that's obvious to those around you, you need to publicly acknowledge it and let it be known that you're going to live that way no longer. There never will be a better time to make a new start with that than right now. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation in any way, we invite you to respond as we stand together and sing this song.